praise God according to his excellent greatness, irrespective of the person that is prompting you to say praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Because we all have a different dimension and a different understanding of who God is. Amen. The fact that we all believe, is one thing. How the extent to which we all believe is another thing. And then how we all believe is another thing. But the common denominator is that we believe. Amen. Hallelujah. And that's why we are together, because we believe. But then in different dimensions. So sometimes when you read the scriptures, you see that, the Lord will supply all my needs. And then one day you sit down, you don't have anything, and then you begin to wonder that the Lord will supply all my needs. And then you begin to pray, stand in prayer and pray. And then all of a sudden, nothing happens at that point. And then you go and say, God is not faithful. Hallelujah. Or you say, oh, why is he not answering? Amen. Now, we believe. But you see, the truth of the matter is that when I give you an instruction, or when I tell you certain things, you have to understand what I'm telling you, or the instruction I'm giving to you, in the light in which I want you to understand it. Okay? So, very simple. When we go to the exam rooms, oh God, this country. You know, today now, WAEC has withdrawn the results that they released on the 5th. Abi? On the 4th. So, you know, they've withdrawn it. The same way their brothers withdrew some the other time. Sometimes we say, the Western world, they don't respect us. I see, because I don't understand what the order is. Why you cannot do that due diligence before releasing the result. And then making a whole mess of whatever it is. I know there's an apology, but it's just painful that we always give people room to criticize us. Anyway, it's because I was going to talk about examinations that I was remembering them. It's not that they have anything to do with what we are saying. I want to talk about examinations. So when the examiner sets your question, he writes the question. And then you look at it and you're like, I know what he wants to say. I know what he's asking. That's all of us do. And then you now write your answers. You know, they will send you the examiner script. Or if they're good, kind of, the examiner comes out with his own script and tells you that this is what he was looking out for. Now, when I was in school, I had this lecturer. By the way, I've started, so I'm not going to say let us pray before I start. So when I was in school, I had this lecturer. We had this lecturer when we were in school, and he would come to class and he would teach us very detailed. And then he says, this is how I expect you to solve this problem. And he starts writing. And then he gives us a manual that shows his step-by-step analysis or whatever he's doing. And then he gives us a test. He'll mark it and he'll send our scripts back to us. And the script that he sends back to us is consistent with the tutorials that he has given to us. Okay? So when he's marking, you look at his tutorials, you look at the script, and you see that, when in his tutorial, after he wrote this, then he gave us another point before going to. So if you mix those points in your answer booklet or your script, you will miss the point. Okay, so you will know that, this is, so he has given us a template. This is what I expect. And then he gives us, he says, it doesn't care whether you arrive at the answer A or B. He wants to be sure that tomorrow, even if you do not get to the answer A or B, the processes you have followed, will guarantee that you understand what you are doing, and then you'll be able to manage any situation. That was way back in 1997, when I had an encounter with him. And then in the year 2020, when was COVID? 2020. So I decided that I wanted to study more, and I started this program, data analysis. And then they brought out all these statistics, and then I found out that my laptop couldn't cope with the processing. So I will sit down and be waiting for the silly laptop to bring output. I'll knock my head on the table. And then it will just crash and say, there is a truncation, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, oh my God. And then for me to get to the point where I just saw it was my laptop was a problem. It took a long while. So I couldn't run that program completely for that solution. But I had the steps. So I just submitted my project. And then, of course, at the end of the day, they gave me something like 85%. I was like, how did I get 85%? Because my own mind was that there was no output for the program. So it would be zero. But their own mind was that everything that you had done was consistent with arriving at a result that can be interpreted. Are you getting me? Good. Fast forward. No, let's go. So I came to 2020, Abby. So let's go back to 1998. So my friend's brother came to school. And he was in year one. We were in year four. And we're feeling like big brothers. So he was staying with us. Not knowing that the guy was intimidated. He was staying with us. So, you know, that means he will not be able to move around, whatever. So he was forming studios. You know, we are forming studios. Because his brothers were around. It was my friend's junior brother. And then he would just come to me and say, please, I don't want him to know. Just this. No problem. So he wrote his, I think he came in for a course. He wanted to study medicine. So we're hoping that he will do well in the first year. And then they'll move him to, then he can cross to medicine. So, lo and behold, he just came out. And it was just, we're just seeing F, E, F. Say, thank God, this guy is just study medicine. He just cut somebody's head when he wants to cut the arm. You know? So, the guy now came to me that, no. This is not his result. And I hate hearing that thing, that is not my result. Honestly, if I tell you why I hate it, the person will forgive me for saying it on the, I hate it. Don't tell me that it is not your result. So, the guy said it's not his result. So he came to me and said, please, it's not my result. I need to go for this paper. I said, okay, no problem. But I said, I have to tell your brother. He said, no, don't tell my brother. I said, I have to tell your brother. So I called his brother and I said, look, this is what this guy is saying. And the guy was very empathetic towards him. Yeah, I mean, the two of us got up and we went to the lecturer. And we were like, we understand that this, but we really want to know what happened to him and all that. And the man was just laughing. Said, all right, no problem. He brought out the guy's script, bam. He brought out his marking script, bam, and then gave it to us. And then we were looking at it. And we were embarrassed. You know, as I don't like people, when the people say they want to call for script, we were embarrassed. What are the factors affecting agriculture in the tropical region? That's the question. Yeah, I just wrote sunlight, rainfall. That's how I wrote it. Then we went to the marking scheme. And then in the marking scheme, the man put, same way he wrote it in his note, he put sunlight and he put the plants. Make use of the photosynthesis, blah, blah, blah. They trap the sun, and this makes sure that they have food, rainfall. That was it. But you know what he did? He just wrote sunlight, rainfall. The same way he talks to us. So he did not meet the lecturer's expectation. So he got, for the sunlight, I think it was half a mark. For the other explanation, it was 5 points. So even if we didn't remember that it's sunlight that they call it, and you wrote it that it traps blah blah blah, you get. So what am I saying? There is the examiner, and there is you that is being examined. And then an expectation by the examiner, expectation of the examiner from you. Okay? And there's an expectation of you towards the examiner. Now, if you do not give the examiner the things the way he has said, giving it to you, you are not likely to get anything. Hallelujah. And it's very, very important, even in our work with God. Because when we read the scriptures, okay? I mean, Romans 15 verse 4 tells us everything, that the things that were written, the story, everything that was written before, they were written for our learning, okay? So that we get hope and comfort from the scriptures. Now, when we look at those things, you have to understand the perspective of God's exact reason, or the reason, or whatever God was trying to pass across when he made those promises to us, and then we are latching upon them. So he says, you know, I mean, what do you call it? Kokoko, what's that kokoko? Seek and you shall. That's kokoko now. He's saying what's kokoko. He's knock and the door shall be opened unto you. And then it also talks about the fact that he grants us the desires of our heart. And then you know that fact that he will grant us the desires of our heart is with a caveat. Am I right? It's with a caveat. Because if it's not according to God's will, he's not going to grant it. Now, that will of God is what I'm saying, that when an examination comes or a testing time comes, that will of God is what he expects to play out in what we are desiring. Amen. You desire to be, was it on Sunday that we are reading it? That everything that it was on Sunday and I forgot him. And I was the one that read it. He said, so that you'll be glorified. I can't remember that scripture that we read on Sunday. That I did everything and said, so that you'll be glorified. Okay, so he gives us everything. He gives us this, he gives us that, so that at the end of the day, he's glorified. Are you getting what I'm saying? So that will of God is what he looks out for in every situation. Okay? So I am in this situation. It doesn't have to be a difficult situation. Okay? It must be any situation at all, any circumstance at all. Then he begins to look at that. Is this person following my will? Hallelujah. And then when your desires align with his will, things happen. And then we are glad. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Things happen and then we are glad. But you know what the Bible says in James chapter 5? Have taken away my helper. James chapter 5. And I want to read from verse 13. It says, is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing psalms. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. He says, Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and not rain on the land for 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and heaven gave rain, and the earth produced its fruit. He says in verse 16, the B part, the effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Hallelujah. Now, don't miss 13 to 15. It's very important. But I'm saying here that the effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Now, number one, the effective, so there are different adjectives that have qualified this prayer. And it comes from man, not just man, a righteous man. Are you getting me? A righteous man. Now, if the effective fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much, that means that once a righteous man is praying, okay, and he puts all his passion, all his every fiber of his being is into that prayer, he's going to come out with a result. Hallelujah. Amen. But it's just not anyhow prayer. Huh? It's just not any situation prayer that the righteous man is going to be praying. You know what I'm saying? Because the fact that he's right, is a righteous man, that righteous separates him from every other man. Hallelujah. Amen. The fact that he's righteous means that he's just not just an ordinary being. He's just not a regular human being, in quotes. Okay? He's just not anybody. He's a righteous person. And who is a righteous one? It's one that is in right standing with God. Hallelujah. Amen. So when you are in right standing with God, the first thing is that you align with what God has done. John chapter 3, verse 16 talks about the fact that for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. That's where everything sprouts from. Okay? And so once you believe in Christ, it is counted unto you as righteousness. And then you maintain that level of righteousness by obeying and following the instructions of God. Hallelujah. So it will be technically difficult for a righteous man to go into and then be praying amiss. Amen. So this James chapter 5 verse 16, the fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Okay? It doesn't mean that when a situation happens and the man gets us to start praying, things will go to start happening. Because number one, the righteous man, the scripture tells us, I think we read it on Sunday as well. I think that's 1 Corinthians chapter 2. So it says, 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and from verse 7, it says, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages for our glory, which none of the rulers of this age knew, for had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches out all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except the Spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the Spirit of this world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that has been freely given to us. It says, these things also speak, not in words, which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Hallelujah. Verse 12 says, now we have received not the spirit of this world, but spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. Hallelujah. So he says, eye has not seen, ear has not heard. Now, as he entered into the heart, you know, a lot of people, which you know, stop at the fact that I have not seen. He has not heard. Sometimes some people tell you that when the miracle is coming, they say, he has not seen. I have not. No, there's no problem. They are very scriptural in what they are saying. Okay? It's just that they did not complete. They did not complete what the scripture was saying. He's saying for them that are loved and are called according to his purpose. And then he's saying that who knows these things of a man except his spirit? Okay? Now, and if you are joined to God in spirit, okay, and that's how a righteous man actually is. Because once we become born again, okay, once we give our life to Christ, our spirit becomes born again. Hallelujah. It's the spirit that is the spirit that is touched, okay? The spirit that is reborn, hallelujah. And then physically, we begin to do a renewing of the mind, okay? Now, once that spirit has that encounter, it is joined to God as one. Hallelujah. So the righteous man is made up of a body, a soul, and a spirit. Okay? Now the spirit of the righteous man is born to the spirit of God. So when the righteous man is praying, he's not praying outside of the spirit of God. Amen. Or let me put it this way. When the righteous man is praying, he should not be praying outside of the spirit of God. Because if it's consistent, and if it's consistent with the will of God, if it's consistent with his work with God, then his spirit is joined with God, and then the revelation of things he has will be according to the will of God. Hallelujah. And so the righteous man will understand per time, okay, will understand everything he's supposed to be doing every time, and he knows the things he's meant to be praying for. Amen. So when situations come, because his spirit is joined to the spirit of God, because he can see the things that God is seeing, hallelujah, just like when the examiner is examining you. Amen. You know, sometimes you go to exams, you don't know what they're going to ask you. I mean, you go for an interview, it's one-on-one, and then he's speaking, you are replying, he's speaking, he says you put the right words in your mouth. Because whoever is talking to you is expecting a response. And if you say what he's not expecting, he's going to give you what you do not expect. Amen. And then the Bible says here that now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. Hallelujah. When we look at James chapter 5 and verse 16, and we talk about the fact that the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much, it is availing much because the righteous man understands what has been given freely to us by God, and when he's praying, is able to draw those things in. Hallelujah. And then it avails much because those things will come, because they have been given. Hallelujah. They cannot be withheld anymore because they have been freely given. What has happened is that the righteous man has been able to be, is bold enough to lay claim on the things that have been freely given. Amen. I hope you get what I'm saying. I'm not saying anything out of space. I'm only trying to help us to understand that when we are praying, what God wants from us is what we should be praying about. Hallelujah. And we cannot be cold today, hot tomorrow, walk in the spirit today, and not walk in the spirit tomorrow, and expect that when things happen and we pray, things will just happen. Hallelujah. Because if you dilute the righteous, if you remove the E out of the righteous, you won't call it righteous again. It becomes righteous. Abi? And if there's no T, it'll be righteous. Abi? Meaning that if you step outside of what the composition of you and God is, which is one spirit, it will be difficult for you to be able to pull down his will. When Christ was teaching us the manner in which we should pray, he said, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Jeremiah 29. Lazarus. I want to change people's name in this assembly very soon. These technical people. Vasilemon. I hope I'm right too. This is one thing that should not leave you. It says, "For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord. The thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope." Amen. So when a situation is hopeless, hallelujah, in quotes, seems hopeless, it looks bleak. If the righteous man is praying, about a hopeless and a situation that looks bleak, it's not difficult for you and I to know that it will pull down God's will, because this is the will of God. He says, "My thoughts, the things I think towards you, are thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope." Because then your prayer will align with his will. The difficult thing, or what looks always difficult, is the fact that when we have desires that are riotous, you know riotous desires? you know riotous desires? Don't be trying to figure it out. Because everything is relative. And I think we've had it before, and we've said it before, that if you are not ready for the next phase, God is not going to let you go to that next phase. Because he wants you equipped for the next phase. Okay? And that's why he gave us different, the fivefold ministries. So that the man of God may be what? Thoroughly what? Equipped. Now, if there's no... I want to speak English. If the man of God is not thoroughly equipped, and he moves out, there will be a problem. In fact, we saw it in the story of the Israelites. I mean, God said, if they go on this journey, it's very short this way. They can easily get there. But the trouble they will see on that way, they will forget him. So he made them go the way, and there's a process. Hallelujah. There's a process. Now, the righteous man is like an eagle. And you know what an eagle does? You say that an eagle doesn't expend energy to climb heights. It flows with the wind. So when it's directly and then it goes up. Then I read some time ago, it's very disrespectful to the eagle. It's called a crow. Say the crow sits on the back of the head of an eagle and we're pecking away. It's the only one that can dare to do that. So, but the eagle doesn't bother or doesn't fight you. The eagle looks at it and says, I'm going to take you to where my strength is. And so he'll allow the crow to be doing anything he likes behind his head. And then he takes the crow on very high altitude, which only the eagle can sustain. By the time he's getting to that high altitude, all the peck, peck, peck that the crow is doing, he forgets about it because now he's going to try to survive because of the high altitude. And once they get to that altitude, it falls off. And that's the end of the crow. And what has the eagle done? He has just simply made use of his own advantage and his own strength. Where the strength of the righteous man is that he's joined in one spirit to God. So if he would employ what his strength is, once he sees a situation, he can tell God's will in this situation. Hallelujah. And if he cannot tell it explicitly, he will know that this is desire of God in this kind of manner, or this kind of situation, and he prays for it. So if you look at the story, or the son. But don't make a mistake. Now, what did he stop the son? Why did he stop the son? You're fighting. Why? You're fighting. There's war. And he discovered that. Good. Now, he stopped it so that the will of God can come to bear. So that the children of Israel will have the upper hand. Abi? Now, the only reason why the son obeyed it, because whatever he was asking for was according to God's will. It wasn't nothing amiss. He says, James chapter 5. Thank you. Well, no, let's read it. Let me read it. Joshua 10. So it says, the sun stood still and the moon stopped till the people had revenge upon their enemies. Is this not written in the book of Jesse? So the sun stood still in the midst of heaven. Go to verse 12. Verse 11. Okay. It says, and it happened as they fled before Israel and were on the descent of Beth Horon, that the Lord cast down large hailstones from heaven on them as far as Azekah, and they died. There were more who died from the hailstones than children of Israel killed with the sword. Then Joshua spoke to the Lord in the day when the Lord delivered up the Amorites before children of Israel. and he said in sight of Israel, sun stand still. See, Joshua keyed in. He saw that God was at work. And then he said, sun stand still over Gibeon and the moon in the valley of Ajalon. Then the next thing, so the sun stood still and the moon stopped. Hallelujah. And he says, till the people had revenge. Because that was God's will. So what's commanding? See, the Bible says, concerning the works of my hand, what do you do? Command ye me. Amen. And so Joshua he just looked and saw it. And that was the will of God. Now, for the righteous, now let's go to James chapter 5 and verse 17. It says, Elijah was a man with a nature like ours. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and did not rain on the land for 3 years and 6 months. Then again, and he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth produced its fruit. But you know, when he was going to pray again, he was at the instance of God. Was at the instance of God and said, now you need to go and pray. If it wasn't God's will, there wouldn't have been rain. Hallelujah. But it took a man working with God and understanding his will per time to take action. It says God will not do anything except a man prays. And we've seen it in the story of Daniel. Took Daniel looking into the scriptures, and he said he understood by the books that at this time, this is when salvation is supposed to come. If Daniel had prayed 2 years before, he would have needed to wait until those 2 years were over before he saw anything, or before anything moves in the heavens. Because what was written was that they had to be there 70 years. And then by the time he was reading the books and he calculated, he was in the 70th year. And nobody had done anything about it until that time. And then he prayed. Hallelujah. And things began to happen. Because at that time, it was the will of God that this liberation must come. We read before the story of the sons of Issachar. They said, Bible, you know, and everybody knows the story of the sons of Issachar. So they have understanding of times and seasons. But then there was something else to eat. So that they know what ought to be done. Hey, we know that we're in perilous times. So what? If you're in perilous times, so what? Abi? That's the question. So what? This is a time of abundance. So what? Abundance, so what? These are questions you need to ask yourself. So if they had an understanding of times and seasons, they said they had it so that they knew what Israel ought to do. So each time they will tell you, so I'm assuming I'm not a son of Ishaka. They will tell you, this is time, you say, this is time for good harvest. Divine. So maize. And if divine will do that, because they have an understanding of time and season, if divine will follow what they have said, when he sows maize, it will be coming, it will have bountiful harvest. And everybody will be like, wow, divine sowed maize. Wow. And then everybody will go and copy divine. But you know that the time when they are sowing is different from the time when divine sowed. Now, some of them may get something, but they will not get as much as he got. Because there's a time and a season. Yeah, on Sunday, we look at Isaiah 53. We need to go. I've not started. So we were looking at Isaiah chapter 53. And we talked about the fact that Isaiah said to us, by his stripes we are healed. He was looking to the cross. from where he was, from his own standpoint, he was looking. And then we look at 1 Peter 2. And then Peter said, by his stripes, we were healed. So bottom line is that healing is embedded in our salvation. Hallelujah. So if you will pray fervently and earnestly for healing, you will receive it because it's God's will. Hallelujah. Are you getting what I'm saying? First John chapter 5. And I read from verse 10. It says, he who believes in the Son of God has the witness in himself. He who does not believe God has made him a liar, because he has not believed in the testimony that God has given of his Son. And this is the testimony, that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son does not have life. These things are written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God. Amen. He says that, and this life is in his Son. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. Do you know that when people read this, because everybody will say, Shebi, I'm alive. Is that the life that is being spoken of here? No. But the one that's given all the scripture, he has an understanding. Hallelujah. See, he who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son does not have life. Meaning that those without the Son are just a walking, I don't know, walking what? Yeah? So in quote, breathing in and out is not life. That's what I'm trying to say, that look, if you don't understand what God is saying, you will just, everybody just make it, we'll miss it. Because waking up and going to bed, wake up, going to bed, breathe in, breathe out, is not life. And he said, this is a testimony that God has. If you go to Genesis, John chapter 3, verse 16, he has given us his only begotten Son. So whoever believes in him, what? Will not perish, but have everlasting life. The life that God speaks is not the life that we say living things have life, Mr. Niger D. No. It's beyond that. He says this is the promise that he has given to us, life eternal. Amen. And let's look at Galatians 2. From verse 20. It says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not set aside the grace of God, for if righteousness comes through law, then Christ died in vain. He says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God. Hallelujah. Who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not set aside the grace of God, for if righteousness comes through law, then Christ died in vain. Hallelujah. So a life without Christ is nothing. He says that if righteousness comes through law, so you know what that means. If your piousness is what brings righteousness, then there was no reason for Christ to have died. Amen.
So the things, the what we have, when you look at the death of the Son of God on the cross, the birth and the death of the Son of God and the resurrection of Christ, what we have been given is beyond what we understand as life. And we need to understand that we are not walking in this realm, in this physical realm, we are walking in a spiritual realm. It says now that the life I live now is not my life. That's what it says. The life I live now is not, in this flesh is not. Hallelujah. We have been transformed. So we are no longer ordinary. Amen. It says, I've been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. Hallelujah. And once Christ lives in you, and he talked about it, let's go to towards the end of it. Christ lives in me. He says, go to the end. Go to 21. It says, I do not set aside the grace of God, for if righteousness comes through the law, then Christ died in vain. Meaning that righteousness came through Christ. Hallelujah. And if you are now living that life of righteousness in Christ, amen, and then you become a righteous man, when a righteous man prays, then you are praying by the virtue of the Christ that is on the inside of you. And it's difficult, it cannot happen that you are praying from the Christ point of view and you are missing God in your prayer. Amen. I think it's John chapter 5. That's the pool of Bethesda, right? John chapter 5. Yeah. It says in verse 5. He said, now a certain man, John 5:5, was there who had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he already had been in that condition a long time, he said to him, do you want to be made well? The sick man answered him, sir, I have no man to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up. But while I am coming, another steps down before me. And Jesus said to him, rise, take your bed and walk. And immediately the man was made well, took up his bed and he walked. He says, and that day it was a Sabbath. Verse 11 said, he answered them, he who made me well said to me, take up your bed and walk. Then they asked him, who is the man who said to you, take up your bed and walk? But the one who was healed did not know him who it was, for Jesus had withdrawn a multitude being in that place. And after Jesus found him in the temple and said to him, see, you have been made well. Sin no more, lest the worst thing come upon you. Isn't it funny that Jesus will ask the guy, do you want to be made well? Huh? Because he could see. Amen. But until man desires something and you really crave for it, that's why James 5:16 talks about it being fervent. Huh? Effectual, fervent. Until one gets to that point, it may be difficult for you to draw virtue out of God. The woman with the issue of blood, she had gone to her wit's end, and it was like, that's what fervency is all about. If only I touch the hem of his garment. If only I'm going to be able to draw. Amen. And he's not going to withdraw anything from them, because those are the things that they are boss, and those are the things that they have come to do to set people free. Amen. These signs that follow them that believe. Signs will follow them that believe. Miracles will happen. It will be a normal thing for people that believe for miracles to happen. Why? Because when you believe, you see things in God's perspective, and then you begin to walk in line with God. Hallelujah. You know, I told you once when my brother used to help us mark our books when we were in school. You just tell him, bring your note to. This is area of concentration, area of concentration. Huh? And then when I study, when I go to the exam room, I just write, and everything is fine. And everybody begins to look. Because the first time he told me, he marked those things for me, I didn't bother. I said, no, what's wrong with this boy? I didn't take it serious. But when I go back to my room, and I opened my notebook, and I saw the things that he started, and I'm like, oh, really? Now, one thing I did not do was not depend on him. Until he says, bring your book, I won't do it. Because it's not all the time that he gets it like that. So if he doesn't say, bring your book, I won't do it. So the second time he said, bring your book, I think there's something. So there's some will start heavily. Some will start sparingly. So when I go there, it becomes seamless for me. Because those ones, they start heavily. I will read heavily times heavily. And then, once I read those ones heavily times heavily, every other one I will read, so that I just in case this guy has made a mistake. I read heavily times heavily. And when the result comes, it looks seamless. It looks so easy. But that's not the result you are seeing. Is not the actual input. Abi? What am I trying to say? What you are seeing is not the ease you are seeing is not actually that is easy. That's why it says effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man. Those three things, effective, fervent, and righteous, they are not mere words. They are deep and they have strong roots, especially the righteous part of it. And so if we are in right standing with God, there's nothing we will ask that we will not get, because we are surely not going to ask amiss. Amen. We'll be able to understand the things that are freely given to us, and we'll be able to search them out and get them materially. Let's rise to our feet. God is a faithful God. He's not going to leave us without succor. He has never left us without succor. He said, it is expedient for you that I go, and for the Holy Spirit to come. When he comes, he will bring to remembrance everything that I have taught you. Hallelujah. Amen. That's what the Comforter has come to do. So for you to know, understand that he sent a Comforter, that means that there will be need for comfort. Hallelujah. Amen. Abi, if he sends a comforter, or he calls the Holy Spirit a comforter, then that means there will be need for that particular thing to come to be. There will be need for comfort. Hallelujah. There will be need for direction. Hallelujah. There will be need for you to recall the things that he has taught you. Hallelujah. And that's the help of the Holy Spirit. Miracles. Miracles, miracles. Miracles are against the tide of non-natural things. Hallelujah. Miracles just oppose the natural law of things. Hallelujah. And that's what God does. Amen. God will suspend the natural laws for you and I. Just lift up your voice this evening and I'll talk to him. That indeed you are who he says you are. You are the righteousness of him in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. And because you are that, then you live consistent with what he has called you to be. I remember what you talked about the examiner and what he's examining. So what he has deposited, he said, I will send the Holy Spirit. He will bring to remembrance everything that I have taught you. Everything. That's what it is. So if life is going to test us, it's going to test us along those lines of the things that we have been taught. Hallelujah. And yet we have the Holy Spirit that will bring to remembrance, so that in that thing we are not lost, we are not drowned, but we find help and we find comfort. And so when we speak, things begin to come to pass, because we are joined one to God. Hallelujah. There's healing available. There's physical healing. Hallelujah. There's spiritual healing. Man kabas ataya. There is psychological healing. Any kind of healing and all is available. Rank out here. It says, by stripes we are healed. So whichever one you want, latch on to it. Man kabos katalida right here. Eka palimbros katalida popat here. By stripes, man katanda leather. We were healed. That's the words of Peter. Man labas katalia. Eka bo sokarinya labasaria. meaning that we look back at the cross. Hey, and Paul says that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. Therein lies our power in the resurrection of Christ. Let's give him praises. Thank him because he's God and he's good. He's true to his words. The words that we have heard, as we have heard them, we lay them in the midst of our hearts and we go over them. Therein lies our breakthrough. Hallelujah. The word of God is God's will. Hallelujah. And it's good to know his will and understand it. Power belongs to you in heaven and the earth. All the power belongs to you. Power belongs to you in heaven and the earth. All the power worship him, give him praise. Don't sing
right now.
Nobody should sing. Let's continue to worship.
Right now, to meet every need. To so we praise, everybody still, your name, Lord, we praise, so we praise.
He meets every need. Hallelujah. Aliboska Daria. Makanga Tanda Liga Tasanta Liga Pratoka. E Campo Secalia. Is there a missing document somewhere? E Katanda Liga da Boska Daria. Look, I shall seek. Hallelujah. E Kaka Liga Sampla Tisaria. You will see it, Mankla Toma Latinia. E Kalia is every need, Mankla Toma Latinia. Soka Kenga La Lavasataria. Yes. We give you praise. Oh, praise is your name. So we pray. Pray. Receive strength. Hallelujah. Raska Pakanga Liga Pasanaya. Era Bosanta Liga, the Bosca Liga, and it was so produced on the Basakaya. As you raise those hands, Linka Panga Tanta Ligarea, O Masan Katan Katanda Lila Rabasakaya, the Spirit of the Lord is upon you. Hallelujah. Eklatova Sakanda Basadea, go forth, Manka Labasadea, and the power of his might. Edebo Santa Linda Dea, Ekamba Kanka Tanta Lida Brosotaria, Limpa Sankatanda Ligra Dissete Liga Basadea. New vibes, new things, hallelujah, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, like never before. Mark it from this day forward. So we pray, oh, pray is your